This is Katie B, and you are about to listen to an early episode of my podcast. Now the show is called the Move Your DNA Podcast, and you can find all episode transcripts and the show notes to this episode at nutritiousmovement.com/podcast. Enjoy. It's the Katie Says Podcast, where movement geek Danny Hemmett joins biomechanist Katie Bowman, that's me, author of Move Your DNA, for discussions on body mechanics, movement nutrition, natural movement, and how movement can be the solution to modern ailments we all experience.
That's right. And for many of us, January means new weight loss goals, like resolutions, let's go get a new gym membership. You know, you get the idea. And during this month, Facebook posts, TV spots, magazines, they're all about how to lose weight and get in shape. I'm making air quotes, get in shape.
Well, to train your fingers, or that's like cardio for your fingers?
Yes, they're working. They're doing air push-ups. And one of my favorite quotes, which I'm kind of on a butchering roll today, so I might butcher what it was, but the gist of it was, you're not out of shape. You're in the exact shape of whatever it is you've been doing. Then that's your quote. Like, mangled, but you said
you mean quote like as in air quotes, like it's your quote.
Yeah. But it's true, because then you think about that and you're like, oh yeah. I'm it's just a fact. I am whatever I've been doing.
You are how you move,
dude.
So yeah, so like this is the time I feel like lose weight tends to be in the top five goals, like New Year's resolution. But lose weight,
I can't imagine it's not number one.
Lose weight might be the poorest. Here's what I want to say.
Not a word.
Well, we're just getting this new year right off to this. It's the, well, I picked poorest because worstly was the one that's my, it's like the worstly phrased, is worstly a word? Mm. Here's what I want to say. Lose weight is the worst way you can phrase a goal because it's very vague to what you actually mean. Do you want less muscle this year? Do you want to have a lower metabolism? Like what I think a lot of people mean is decrease body fat.
Yeah.
But they say lose weight. And then therefore, when they do searches on how to figure out how to do that, they get things that may in fact reduce their weight, including, you know, lean mass, which is something, and I believe if you want to get stronger, what most people want is actually more weight.
Right.
They want more muscular weight. So even if you're just jotting down, if you don't hear, listen to anything else, mostly just because of the grammar issue, you're like, I'm out of here.
This is the poorestly done it's podcast poorest I've ever listened to.
No. It's like the poorestly word done, like, because I apologize. My number one resolution is take out the likes from when I speak.
Oh, you're Cali girl.
I know. It's very difficult. I've never said hella, but the like thing and the guys, right? Like, hella guys. Anyway, I think that what we have come up with is a list of items to help you change the shape that you are in that have, I'm not going to say nothing to do with fat loss, because I think that the fat distribution you have, whether you're happy with it or not, as well as the lean mass distribution you have, whether you're happy with it or not, is a result of how you live your entire life. And I'm going to focus specifically on the mechanical nutrients that you're experiencing. Although I guess we have some other biochemical stuff, like that like was appropriate, for example, which is better than like flame retardants. So we have a list of what? Many paths to improving your health besides things that involve fatometers,
yes,
which is from an earlier episode, right? We were talking about the fatometer and the flexi curve,
mm-hmm,
and have very little to do with stepping on the scale, have nothing to do with stepping on the scale.
Right. Lots of ways to focus on your health besides that.
So many shapes that you can assume where a scale need not be involved. So You want to start or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's get on it. So let's just offer up our ways to focus on health for this year. or for all years to come.
Yeah.
Okay. First one of my favorites. Let's clean up our sleep.
I know. Blog post. There's a blog post on that.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's called? Cleaning up my sleep?
I think it might be. We'll put it in there. I always work extra hard after to find all this stuff that we refer to. Is that research assistant just as
nice? I've had many applications for the research assistant. Isn't that funny?
Oh, me too.
All right. So
it's awesome. Okay. We've both cleaned up our sleep this year, you and I.
Yay.
Let's talk about it.
Well, I guess the simple things changed the height of my bed to something lower, changed my mattress from something that had flame retardants and had give to something that was extremely firm and had a natural flame retardant, which was wool, right? So it's just a futon. Yeah, because
you went from a pillow or a mattress topper, didn't you?
Yeah, I went from a regular person's mattress, from Costco or wherever people buy the mattress land or yes, I had mattress just like a regular person for many, many years.
Yes.
But that has changed in the last 18 months, 2 years now, I guess. A timer on our Wi-Fi to kick us off of Wi-Fi, plus to just not have Wi-Fi, the signal going at all hours of the day. So a $9.99 timer from Radio Shack plugged into the internet, shuts that puppy down. You can play with it. You can play with the time. Also a great, if people are worried about, their kids being up on the internet, different, just shut it down. You can just have it click off. You don't have to be policing that.
Which it totally blows if you stay up late on a weeknight and you're streaming Netflix and then you forget to change your timer.
Yeah. But you know what? What's more important, that Netflix episode or your health?
Well, yeah, it depends what time of the week it is, but yes.
I guess there's lots of different ways of health.
We did it too. We did it a year ago or whenever you first posted it. And I notice when we sleep in places that have it on, the quality of my sleep is not great at all.
Yeah. It would be interesting to get some controlled studies on people's experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love it.
Okay, what else was in sleep? Going to bed earlier, right? That's kind of a no-brainer, which then typically requires getting up earlier. For those of you who are like, I can't seem to transition my family. It's like, wake everyone up earlier and double your outside time and people will be passing out earlier. And also, electronics before you go to bed, watching your screens as an evening activity. For most people, that's an evening activity, right? That's when you partake of your TV. And that light, that particular blue light, does mess with your brain.
It does.
So you can get glasses and continue with the habit, right? So it's kind of like paleo desserts. You don't have to change your habits, but you can change the ingredients. But eventually you can also go, I want to look at my relationship with this constant input of entertainment or television and see if there's a different way of approaching this. So that's my personal goal. I do.
Well, I think people read too. Like a lot of people read off their iPads or their Kindles or whatever.
Exactly. Any blue light, being on your device right to the end of the day, tough. So maybe looking at what that is and if there's a different way. It kind of reminds me of, are you familiar with Whole30? I like Whole30. I've been looking a lot at their rationale for why they do their program and just looking at, I think it kind of comes from an addiction based paradigm. So I think it's interesting to look at. I think technology in general will start to be investigated from an addiction standpoint because we have a really difficult time not engaging constantly, continuously with technology. So what happens if all technology is off at 8 p.m.? What would your life look like? What would your family time look like? What would your movement time look like? So fun experiment. And I think maybe that could be kind of fun. We've got like four or five things. Like if you were going to break down your health into 6 weeks, maybe trying each one of these out for a week as a family.
That sounds good.
Anyway. All right.
I like fresh air while I'm sleeping too. That helps me sleep better. And I think just committing, like you said, commit to more sleep. Just make, you have to try to get it in order for it to happen.
Sleeping outside. Sleeping outside was our goal for last year. We wanted to sleep 30 days outside. And we started camping in January. And, a lot of people camp in the snow, no problem. Not no problem casually. Well, it's physiologically possible is what I mean. Might not be mentally possible, but that was cool too. That was like submerging ourselves in nature a little bit. It's kind of a pretty clean sleep to sleep out in the forest in the snow. Might be one fun thing to do as a family, kind of work your way up to it. See, someone asked, like, how can I get my kids more excited about natural movement in nature? It's like, try doing that kind of nature-y crazy stuff. Like, it's a picnic in the woods. It's snow camping, because
yeah,
kids dig that. Like, they really do crave, it seems like, adventure and excitement. So instead of like, let's get our exercise and move our DNA, because Katie says, it's like, snow camping. Yes. You know, so.
Yeah. And speaking of move your DNA, you have a section on sleep in that book.
Yeah. Pillow weaning, right? Your pillow is an orthotic. Mm. Transition away from it, maybe. Over a year. Doesn't have to be over the week.
Definitely. All right. That's good. All right.
Good. So that's good. Clean up your sleep.
Next one. You want to go?
Dress for more movement.
Mm-mm-mm.
Have you been reading The Art of Cleaning Up?
Oh.
Have you read that book? Have
is
you
that
heard of
the,
it?
They call it...
Research Assistant. Yes. Oh, Research Assistant.
That's it. They're fired. What's it called? It's called some sort of method.
It's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying
okay.
Up.
Okay. That's awfully simple. But yes, okay. I have seen it.
I recommended this book. I bought this book actually for my girlfriend when we were coming back from New York, and she's not like into natural movement. She's not into anything. She's like, oh my gosh, this book has changed my life. She sent a picture of going through her closet and her drawers. If you've transitioned to someone who is desiring more movement, but you feel hindered by the outfits that you wear, the shoes that you wear, you might want to consider combining the section. There's a section in this book about how to proceed going through your closet. Like, if every single day you go to get dressed and you're like, oh, I'm never going to wear that. I can't take a walk. I can't squat. Get rid of those clothes, because this is another way to change your shape, right? It's like the shape of all of the stuff that's in your house. I believe that natural movement and moving as you are, we've talked about this before. It all goes together. It's like,
yeah. Fashion movement podcast.
It's, yeah. Okay, exactly. So it's the type of textiles that you're purchasing and the industries that you're participating in, how much stuff you have, how that stuff is shaping you. So it might be kind of fun, because I think a lot of people have that book, to kind of go through your closet with, what clothes am I not wearing simply because they no longer suit the lifestyle and the body shape that I'd like to have going forward. So clothes, belts. Swap your belt for suspenders, says my husband.
I see pictures of him. It's so cute.
He's like, is that Katie or her dad? Is that her husband or her
He's
dad?
He's wearing his braces. He's so cute.
He is.
So cute. Yeah, and, you know, ditch the Spanx, those waist shapers that were really popular. They're on sale at Walgreens now. Like, people can buy these waist shapers that will just, you know, create all these forces internally. And, you know, you can just ditch that. You don't need that. Be comfy.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Transition to minimal shoes this year for people who haven't done that.
That's a good one, is the Whole Body Barefoot book will help you with that transition if you feel like this ain't going to happen.
How about this? Transition away from overly supportive bras by engaging with your upper body so much this year that the muscles in your chest support your boobs for you.
Good one. Very good.
That goes right along with, you know, hanging goal.
Mm-hmm.
I would like is a picture of your boobs now. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only
I'll
one.
I'll post those in the show notes. Sorry.
Before you can do a pull up and after, because it would be really interesting to see a change in shape.
All right. You know what? I accept that challenge. I am taking that. And at the end of this year, I will send you two pictures of my breasts. So before and after. I mean, just so you know, ever since... We recorded the year-end health recap, and I stated loudly and proudly that I'm going to do a pull-up this year. I've already increased what I've been able to do. I'll take a picture of my breasts when we're done here.
I saw something else on some motivation social media channel. She's like, whatever it is that you want to do right now, commit to it by putting it out in public. Make it your Facebook status, share it as a tweet, and then... offer updates, you know, because I think that it's like you're creating your own accountability.
Yeah, it's huge. I had to walk every day for a year because I said it out loud on a whim.
I love that podcast, that blog post series that you did. It was fantastic. I wish that, do people look at it all the time?
I still get comments, people that have actually done their own year following it after the fact and have been inspired. So that's really cool. Just clothes that let you move. There's nothing wrong with that. It's your body, your clothes. So just be comfy. Let yourself move.
Ditch the casts.
Next one. This one has been a life changer for me. Get down on it. Just get down on the floor.
Yeah.
You don't have to get rid of everything right at once.
You don't need to get rid of anything.
No.
So let's call this, you know, like everyone was hopped on board with screen free week. What if we had furniture free week where you don't have to move your furniture out of your house? You just don't use it. And I think it'd be fun. You know, again, it's a game, you know, it's a challenge for everyone to try to do. And it's fun, I think, for family members to supervise each other, like with friends, especially if you have like fun consequences, you know, like where everyone has a jar. And anytime you catch anyone doing the jar, maybe you can think of ahead of time, like what's one thing, let's like if we took my family or if you take your family and you create a jar for each person, and it's like, what would be like one thing that person would love to get, and what would be like one thing that the person would hate to do, but everyone would love it if this other person did it as kind of a consequence. And then it becomes something more fun, you know?
Yeah. And it gets easier and easier and more, I don't know if I'd say comfortable, but you just feel better.
I don't think comfort is the end goal.
No, it's not. You feel better. Like now.
Exactly.
I'm such a floor sitter that if I ever decide I want to get up on the couch and I can't. Like I'm just really, it doesn't feel good at all. I am happier on the floor, but it didn't feel that way in the beginning. And I needed bolsters and pillows. And sometimes I still do. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, cushions or whatever you need to help you get down there without just freaking out.
Yeah, it's challenging to delineate between pain and discomfort. So, you know, discomfort is kind of like a biological impetus to change something. So we have got this understanding that you're supposed to be comfortable all the time. So you create this environment that creates no signals of like change your freaking position. But then we get the accumulative like, wow, you were so comfortable this long time. Now you have some sort of serious pain signal, and then that's supposed to perhaps be motivating, but now it's just we treat it like it's its own issue and not a symptom. And so I think that discomfort is okay. I think that if you're going to do this furniture-free week or make this a way of approaching changing your shape, feel free to bolster away. Feel free to not be in pain as you do it. So maybe it's just as simple as you can sit on whatever cushions or whatever else that you want, but you just can't sit on the furniture. And in that way, people can mediate themselves. But then you'll find that you'll bolster. And then eventually it gets to this point where like bolstering takes too much work. You're like, oh, I don't want to go over there and get that thing. I'll just cope with it. And then that's when you're in that transition period where the cost of going to move to tend to your discomfort is less than your discomfort of expending that energy. And that's when you're in transition, which is great.
Yeah. And there's just, you can just commit to a little time each day while you get used to it. Like, okay, while I watch my favorite show, I'm on the ground. Or there's other stuff you can do on the ground, like folding laundry. You know, don't stand at the bed and do it. Just get down on the floor in a lunge and do it or whatever. You have your house tour on the new website?
I do. We are open Mondays through Saturdays.
Can we bring in hot drinks or do we have to leave all food and drinks outside?
Don't touch anything. Photos are not allowed. Oh, my goodness.
Have you been reading the book, The Art of Tidying Up? Or is it just as is?
No, you just have to tidy it up for yourself, not as running a museum-like establishment.
Oh, that makes sense. And you also did I think it was a blog post, might have been a Facebook, about you are how you eat. And you had like, you know, squatting down with your kids and cracking walnuts and stuff like that.
So many different ways, yeah.
There's so many ways that you can get down on the floor. It doesn't just have to be sitting sedentary watching something or playing a game or reading, but you can do all sorts of stuff on the ground.
Yeah. And we've talked about that, like family movement hacks or something. It seems like
sure.
Our shows are different. I want to say coagulation, but that's not the word. They're like concentrated bits of information about different one of these things. So if you're like, okay, I'm intrigued, I want more, then you can go to that other podcast where there's more info, more examples.
Yeah. And sometimes it just helps to hear something many times before you go, oh yeah, I get it. Want to take a movement break?
Yeah, let's do that, because that's what I was actually doing right now, because I was getting tired of standing still. So what I'm doing right now, and you can join me, is what we call a number four stretch. And it's essentially like a seated piriformis stretch, except I don't have a chair. So I start standing. I cross, let's say, my left ankle over the top of my right thigh. So you can hold on to something if you need to. And then I sit back in an imaginary chair. And you don't have to sit back very far. You can continue to hold on to something if you'd like. My left ankle is crossed over the top of my left thigh, kind of like if I was sitting in a chair and I crossed my leg while I was sitting there. I'm doing that, but then I'm slowly lowering my hips to the ground until I feel, I don't know, something in that left butt cheek area. Oh, I love this one so much. And then you can try the other side. And if you're walking, you can just stop and do it. You have a tree trunk or a pole to hold on to. Are you doing it too?
I am doing it.
So nice.
I realize I haven't done it in a couple weeks because I can just feel it. Ah, oh.
That is really good.
Make sure if you're out walking that you wave to the neighbors when they're staring out their window. If you're doing this in the front yard,
looking at their TV,
they're like, "Is that woman pooping in my front yard? What's going on?
Who pooping? Who poops on one leg? Oh, do you live in like a neighborhood of flamingos? That comment did not make sense to me.
Do they?
All right.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to look that up. They poop in one leg? I don't know.
But their knees are backwards. Anyway.
Okay. That felt good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining me. Mm-hmm. What else we got?
How about let's connect with our breath?
Oh, yeah. I think just even seeing breath as a movement maybe would be a good way. Because, I mean, we're always, you are connected to your breath. You're being shaped by it. The density of your rib cage is being shaped by it. The amount of oxygen saturation is being shaped by it. So learning about your breath, I think, is key. And you can learn a lot about your breath in the Diastasis Recti book. Mm-hmm. I think that no book have I gotten as far into breath as I did in that book, because your breath, the way that you breathe, is affecting the pressure chambers of your abdominals, of your abdomen, and of your pelvis. So that's why so many protocols for pelvic organ prolapse. Like, you have to deal with your upper body. I just got the best feedback on Diastasis Recti, which is I can't believe you've started a Diastasis Recti book with shoulder girdle work and rib cage mobility. She's like, it feels so revolutionary to me, because she's been working on her Diastasis Recti for some time. And I don't think that anyone has ever really said, you can't fix your diastasis recti core problem without dealing with the tension in your upper body, because that's one, in many cases, the compensations that you are making for the tension in your upper body is what is pulling the right and left half of your abdomen apart. So I go into breathing and pressure there. Maybe let's do another movement break. If you just put your hands on your waist and then slide them up until they're around your bony rib cage. So it's not quite as high as your armpits, because you're hands don't have to go that high, but kind of down around the lower part of your rib, and just push your hands towards each other, right? So that you're thinking of holding the right and left halves of your rib cage down, and then take a breath. And as you breathe, feel those ribs push out into your hands. And then as you exhale, you are not just, there's a recoil exhale, and then there's an exhale where you use your abdominal muscles. So the relaxed one, where you're just letting the spring action of your ribs come back down. That's like the first half. The second half would be to then create a forceful exhale where you engage your core and the intercostal muscles in between the ribs to exhale even more beyond where you reflexively got the exhale due to the elastic, non-active recoil of the rib cage. So I think connecting with your intercostals and the movements of your ribs, which has to start with dropping your ribs, which again is an entire chapter. Mm-hmm. It's a one sentence chapter, but it's an entire chapter in Diastasis Recti. And my sister She's like, oh my God, I was flipping through Diastasis Recti. And I got to this chapter. It says, if you're only flipping through this book, read this chapter, dropping your ribs. Just drop your ribs. The end. She's like, I was doing that. And I was like, I know. That's why I put it in there.
That was awesome. Because
that's what people do. They grab a book, they flip through it, and it's like, there's nothing more that needs to be said. You already have the instructions in the first 3, 4, 7 chapters. You need to know that this requires its own chapter, and the only instruction is to just do it.
Yep, that was awesome.
Thanks, Nike. Anyway, all right, so...
All right, that's all right, good.
Last one. You want to do it? You want me to do it?
You do it.
Add some dynamic to your workstation.
Booyah!
Boom!
Dynamic. There are so many ways to do this.
You Let's can't just start fail. Talking about it. You can't fail. Like, before you go...
fail.
Before you start going, but I you can't fail. Yeah. You can't fail. You sit differently. If you got, I only got a chair and I'm unable to buy another, fine. Sit cross-legged in your chair. Get up and down out of it. Do the squats yep. on any of the videos.
You
don't need
a standing desk. You can get a cardboard box if you, you want.
You don't even have to change your seated desk.
No.
Just start taking movement breaks. Like you can only fail if that is your decision when it comes to movement and your workstation.
Totally.
Other than that, you can absolutely be successful on this one. I love it. We should actually just edit this whole show so it's just this first, the end, because everyone's working, right? Everyone's got some sort of workstation, whether it's going to an office work or it's a home office or your work is creating lots of like nourishing meals for your family or dealing with children. It doesn't matter. You can move more while you do it.
Yep. So easy.
So easy. It's so easy. We're not even going to give any examples on how you can do it.
No, but you can read the Don't Just Stand There book because that actually does give you, if you haven't thought about different ways you can move around.
Yes. Don't just sit there.
Don't just sit there.
Don't just stand there. Will be part two that I'll write, next 17 minutes from now. There is also a really good blog post that I wrote for someone else's blog about being a writer who lives a dynamic lifestyle.
I read that.
And it was super popular, and it includes a sped up camera. We put a camera on me while I worked for an hour, and then we sped it up so that you can actually see an hour of how I work and how I move while I work. And so I think that would be good. Just watch that and read the pointers in that. It already explains what to do. You can also, again, check out the Day in a Life page on Nutritious Movement, which has examples of it, not just during my work time, but with my family time, with my personal time, and then how I fit more into my movement time. So,
But you're right. It doesn't have to be in front of the computer or a desk. We all work in different ways, and it can all be changed up.
No one is creating a direct output of work for every minute that they sit there. There is time where you are gathering your thoughts, having meeting, like there are components of your day which absolutely can be done while moving. You just have to change the way you think about it. That's the number one way to change the shape of your body this year, folks, is changing the way that you think.
Yep. Although, can I add one of my favorite desk tips that somebody just gave me and I have used extensively?
Please.
And it has helped increase my happiness and productivity. It's a thing called Leech Block, and it's free.
What is Leech Block?
Leech Block is...
I thought that's just pants. Pants that you wear in a pond.
Yes, with gaiters and rubber bands around your ankles.
How do you spell it? I'm going to look it up right now.
Like leech, like L-E-E-C-H.
Block. Oh, like leeching your time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what does it block?
Not a blood-sucking leech. Yeah. It blocks whatever social media channel you have an issue with. And it can block it for however long you want during the day, however many days a week you want. It is free. It's kind of like Time Out, a great free app that just makes you look away. This is also a free app that if you have a problem
I love with this so
dinking
hard.
Around on Facebook, even if you just look like I'm one of those people that I'll just go over and look for 30 seconds and then go back. But gee whiz.
Well, if you do it every 40, if you do it every minute and a half, it turns out that is a higher percentage of your work time than you had accounted for.
Leech Block has saved my butt and has got me back writing on my novel. Thank you, Penelope.
Wow. This is excellent.
Yeah.
I feel like that people might be just super excited about this recommendation. Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted to share it. Very helpful.
Right. Yeah. Super great.
Cool. Well, I'm so excited. What a great year we have ahead of us, everybody.
Oh, were you talking to me or were you talking to everybody?
Aren't you in that group?
It's already good.
I know. It's already good, man.
It's already good. I've been stretching. We've been talking for, I don't know, 45. Oh my gosh. We've been talking for almost an hour, and I have been doing the number four stretch for probably 20 minutes of it.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I'm feeling good. Like this year is already rad.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening. For more information, books, online classes, et cetera, you can find Katie Bowman at nutritiousmovement.com. You can learn more about me, Danny Hemmett, movement warrior and sleep janitor at moveyourbodybetter.com. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We hope you find the general information on biomechanics, movement, and alignment informative and helpful, but it is not intended to replace medical advice and shouldn't be used as such.